We live in a time and an era of incredible disruption. We're seeing a disruption to the normal flow of life that hasn't been seen since the Great Wars, World War I and World War II. We've seen 18 months of pandemic, as we all know, lockdowns. We've seen the Federation of Australia shaken to its core. State borders are being put up all over the place. Incredible restrictions on people. Now, I know that many of you in Fortress WA are pretty much living in a COVID-free state, which is great. But I imagine even among your folk, there has been somewhat anxiety over the past 18 months. And even now, you know, we don't see a really clear path forward. And so we see many of our folk in our congregations struggling with all kinds of anxiety, all kinds of even mental health challenges. People are losing income. It's a great era of disruption. And for us in ministry, the great temptation is burnout, is to get almost compassion fatigue because we just deal with one crisis after the other. We get used to the current church restrictions and then they change again. So it's just good to be reminded of God's grace to us, even in times of trial, and God's amazing providence. And so I'm going to bring just a few readings and just really draw us back to God's word, God's grace to us, great assurance for us as we seek to serve Jesus as under shepherds of his church in a time of crisis. Now, part of the human condition is that we live with anxiety. The psalmist King David wrote in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." We're going to have struggles in this life. And especially now in a time of disruption, we've had a whole generation of reasonable peace, of reasonable prosperity here in the West. And it's being shaken now. It's an incredible gospel opportunity as people's kind of worldview is being challenged. The worldview of the great Australian secular dream of getting rich and enjoying pleasure has been challenged. It's a great time to be preaching the gospel. There are amazing gospel opportunities. But for us this morning as elders, teaching elders, ruling elders, we have to guard our hearts against anxiety, despair, burnout, and also be prepared to love our folk. And we find already in our churches a whole spectrum of responses to the current crisis. We have the anti-vaxxers, we have COVID deniers, we have folk who are afraid to leave home. We have to be able to love and care for our folk and provide godly and wise counsel in all of their responses to this incredible disruption. And so this morning I want to look at just four points we can focus upon. One, in times of crisis, concentrate on the many good gifts God gives us. Secondly, in times of crisis, consider God's sovereignty and his plans. Thirdly, constantly trust in God in times of crisis. And fourthly, and very importantly for us as elders, comfort others who are hurting. And so point one is, in times of crisis, concentrate on the gifts God gives us. If you have your Bibles there, flip to Philippians chapter 4. Just a short reading out Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. Paul writes there, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and see in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, we might read a charge like Paul's charge, "Do not be anxious about anything," and think, well, that's kind of impossible. We live in an anxious age. We are prone to anxiety in our humanness. And part of loving involves anxiety. But Paul is saying rather, take your anxiety to God in prayer. Now, we often become anxious and lose perspective. A key aspect of worry, of anxiety, of burnout is to become inwardly focused, to kind of be caught in a spiral of rumination and self-focus. Paul is saying, take all of your prayers, including the things about which you are anxious, to God in prayer. And he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So pray about everything, but in a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of gratitude. When we focus on what is wrong in our life, in our family, in our church, in our world, we can easily take our eyes off God and even forget all of his amazing grace to us, his grace to us moment by moment, all of the good things he has given us. James says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. A key aspect of anxiety and depression and burnout is losing perspective. We have been given so much in Christ. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16, verse 33. Now, we are going to have anxieties. Parents, we worry when our children get sick. We worry if they're bullied at school. We're concerned when they walk in folly or sin against us. We feel anguish when their hearts break in life. And we feel devastated if adult children aren't walking with the Lord. Part of this anxiety, this concern for your children is just an aspect of your love for them. Very appropriate. We should never expect to be stoic and free of concern. We are to love our children, and love at times hurts. Elders, we will have troubles from time to time in ministry. We will grieve over folk who walk away, folk who leave us. We will grieve over conflict in the church. This is right and appropriate. We are never to be stone-hearted and stoic. Listen to how Paul speaks about his love and concern for his brethren in Ephesus. He writes in, or he said in Acts 20, verse 31, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. Paul was no hyper-Calvinist. He didn't say, I trust God with the elect, the rest of you are going to burn. No, no, he said, I warned you, I admonished you for 3 years with tears. We know, of course, from the Corinthian letters, the great hurt they caused Paul because he loved them. He said, he writes in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4, for I wrote you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. We are going to have anguish of heart from time to time in ministry, but it's key that we turn this over to God in prayer. Don't look inward, rather look upward. We have a loving, sovereign Heavenly Father who has given us so much, and we are called, Peter calls us to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7. Now, if you're like me, 3 a.m. is the time of night you'll wake up and ruminate and worry about things in the church, things in your family, things in your life, things in the world. Use the start of rumination as a call to prayer. Turn it over to God in prayer. I love too what Paul had said there in Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He's talking about the thought life of the Christian. He's saying, think about, dwell on things that are honourable. Dwell on our glorious Lord and Saviour, his amazing grace to us. Be amazed at God as you read through the Psalms and just ponder these wonderful songs of praise and wonder at his glory and grace. Dwell on things above. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 5, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And Paul says, the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Set your minds on things above. Well, the second point is this. In times of worry and crisis, remember God's sovereignty, God's plans. A couple of verses from Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And then Romans 8, 24 and following. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And now don't miss this last phrase. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. A key aspect of keeping the right perspective in life and ministry is remembering our future hope, our future glory. When we focus on the hope, on the things to come, we are better enabled to get the right perspective and endure our trials and overcome and get past our worries. The Apostle Peter says our final salvation is kept in heaven, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1, 4 to 5. A key remedy to worry, to burnout, to depression, to stress, remember the hope of glory ahead of us. And that hope, of course, is the revealing of our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in great glory. This is where the future is heading. And Paul says, in the meantime, we are to wait patiently for the glory that is to be revealed. God is sovereign. He is in control. God wins. Nothing takes place without his consent. And he is working all things for his glory and his purposes. Even when we can't see the silver lining, we can't understand why these things come, God is working them for his glory. I love the words of assurance from Isaiah 46, verse 9. God says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. God is in control. And we read there too in Romans that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And don't we need that in times of trial and times of worry, times of anxiety? The Holy Spirit helps us as we pray to our loving Heavenly Father. Remember, God is sovereign and God loves us and has called us and is working all things for his glory and for the good of those who love him. Well, point three, in times of trial, trust and obey the Lord. Trust in the Lord. We spent much of our early childhood in Perth and went to WPC Bull Creek. And I can recall one weekend, we went up in the hills above Perth and Dad and Mum and my brother and I were exploring the hills above Perth. And Dad came upon this huge, dark, abandoned rail tunnel. And being an intrepid explorer, he decided to explore it with us in tow. So we walked into this long, dark rail tunnel. And the further we went, the darker it got. Now, I was 6 years old, and after a time, I became incredibly afraid. It was dark, it was eerie, it was echoey, and I started to cry. My dad picked me up, put me on his shoulders, and carried me the rest of the way, and I felt safe. Well, sometimes we go through what is called the dark night of the soul, times of suffering, when we can't see the white light at the end of the tunnel. Those are the times we are to trust in God, remembering he is with us in the trials as my father was in that tunnel above Perth. We can trust God to bring us through times of suffering, times of trial, even times of burnout. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 25, these wonderful words of assurance to the troubled Jews of Galilee, many of whom lived meal to meal, day laborers. He said, therefore, I tell you, Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And from verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We've seen in the media over the past 18 months scenes we've never seen before. People coming to physical blows over toilet paper in the local supermarket. People worried, people anxious, people panicking. The great Australian dream, the great Australian kind of comfort and prosperity has been rocked. It's been challenged. People have been put into all kinds of deprivation through harsh lockdowns. We are called to walk in a way, even in these times of trial, that show our brethren, our colleagues, our family, our neighbours, that we have a living hope. We are called to be salt and light to the world. We are those who are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that he adds us, he gives us all the things we need. We are safe in the arms of our loving Heavenly Father. He knows even the number of hairs on our head. He knows us intimately, and he has saved us through his beloved Son. And we can certainly trust him even in the face of the coronavirus, lockdowns, and global uncertainty. Now, I say that if you don't know Jesus, people should be panicking. It's a terrible time of uncertainty. Who knows when things will go back to any kind of normal? We see China rattling the saber. We saw an absolute devastation in Afghanistan. Things are looking very bleak. If I didn't know Christ, I'd go move out to the country and live in a caravan somewhere. But we know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. We know our loving Heavenly Father, and we can trust him to carry us all of our days, even in trials. And we should be a great witness before the world of how we trust God in times of crisis and uncertainty. Our Lord said, don't sacrifice today by worrying about tomorrow. We are to trust in him to meet our needs for today. Consider the assurance of Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. In a time of great uncertainty, Isaiah wrote this: behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. That's a wonderful word of trust from a prophet who is suffering far greater than we are. I like it what R.C. Sproul writes here. He says, I do worry about tomorrow, and I repent of that. Jesus says that we have enough on our plate today without worrying about tomorrow. Worry can be a thief in the night that steals your peace. But if you're an anxious person, or you're going through a time of considerable trial through your business, or troubles in your family, troubles in your church, you are going to catch yourself in anxiety. Keep turning it over to God in prayer. Remember, God is bigger than our turmoil. God is gracious to his children, and he knows that we are frail. He knows we are prone to anxiety. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 103, verse 14, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. I love the words of Psalm 28, verse 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. Trust in the Lord, even in your worries. Well, point four, our final point, it's a very important one for us, especially serving as elders in churches. Comfort others who are hurting as well. Looking now at 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4. Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Again, one of the key elements of worry is that we lose perspective. We turn inward. We become fixated on the problems rather than on our Lord. We are to look not inward, but upward to God. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God comforts us in our affliction, and we are called to comfort others in their affliction with the comfort which we have received ourselves from God. The Aussie scholar Paul Barnett writes, God can encourage us by his word and through his spirit, but sometimes he uses other believers to give us the encouragement we need. How wonderful it would be if all of us had the nickname Barnabas, son of encouragement. How can we comfort others? Well, for a start, to be a listening ear. A listening ear to others. Even Job's friends were a great comfort when they came with him and joined in his suffering and just sat with him for 7 days in silence. They were a good comfort. And then they spoiled it all by speaking. But listening to people in their suffering is a key part of the way we care for them. Paul Barnett writes, if we would be used by God to comfort and encourage, we must be prepared to listen without interruption, so as to allow others to express to us their deepest feelings. While all Christian ministry must go ultimately to the mind and the will, it will often start with the emotions. We are to comfort others by hearing them in their sufferings, hearing their hurts. But also, we comfort them by giving them practical help. A hot meal can be a wonderful way of saying, I love you, to our suffering brethren. The Apostle James said this about helping our brethren. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unstained from the world. James 1:27. We have folk, we all have folk in our churches today who are anxious, who are lonely, who are housebound, who are unwell, who are suffering. And we are called to comfort them with the comfort we ourselves have received from our Heavenly Father. We are called to love and serve each other. This is why we are called to gather Sundays and throughout the week. We're called to live life together, to live life closely, to build relationships of trust and mutual accountability to the point where we can share our sufferings, share our sorrows, and help others in their sufferings and sorrows. Now, a point here, especially for teaching elders, we can become good at giving care, good at giving counsel, but very bad at receiving care and counsel. One of the great dangers for pastors is becoming socially isolated in our ministry. We think we have to have it all together. It's so important to have fellow mature Christians with whom you can talk honestly and openly and be mutually accountable. We all need help as we walk in this broken world following our Lord Jesus Christ. Be very wary of isolating yourself as a church leader. I think it's great to have other pastors as friends, to meet over coffee, to build up a friendship and be able to speak of your sufferings, your struggles, to speak of your sins and be mutually accountable. It's so important not to become socially isolated as teaching or ruling elders. This leads to burnout. This leads to all kinds of sin and stumbling. We're called to be mutually accountable, to walk closely together. And elders, it's good for us to invest in young men in our church, to meet with them often enough to build a relationship of mutual accountability and trust, to give them genuine support and care and mentoring. And it's important for us to receive this kind of care ourselves. And finally, elders, all of us, we have to be very aware of stewarding our time and our energy and our health, especially in times of crisis. We need rhythms of work and rest. We need time away for our family, time you must guard, time away for yourself, for renewal and rest, time to recover. We have to be good stewards of our time and energy, or we ourselves will burn out. We live in a time of great uncertainty, a time of great anxiety. Many folk in your churches are being barraged with social media, news feeds, bad TV, more than there are taking in the Word of God. Beware of that. Encourage them, exhort them to gather, to study God's Word, to read God's Word, to have minds transformed by the Word of God and not conformed to this world. And finally, as we close, remember, when we are ourselves become anxious or concerned or worn down, remember all of the wonderful gifts God gives us from moment to moment, day to day. When you are worried, when you are anxious, turn it over to God in prayer. And we're called to pray in a spirit of thanksgiving. When you find yourself losing your joy in ministry, consider God's sovereignty. Consider His plans. He's working all things together for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. And remember too, we are called to trust in the Lord. And this command is not onerous because God is all-powerful. He's sovereign. He's glorious. He's lovely. He is in complete control. He loved us so much, He sent His own Son to die for our sins, that we could be washed and cleansed and given a new heart, given the indwelling Holy Spirit and made His own beloved children. We have every reason to trust in God. And finally, remember to pass on to others the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We are called to bear with each other in love, Ephesians 4:2. And that'll mean bearing with the folk who are suffering in your church more than ever. And finally, to keep the right perspective, remember we have a wonderful, glorious hope, a wonderful homecoming, a wonderful reunion ahead of us. We are called to live with an eternal perspective. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Will you bow with me now for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we have indeed been going through 18 months of disruption, and Father, we're still right there. Lord, it's very easy for us to become discouraged at the constant kind of disruptions and limitations to our life. Lord, the constant trials that have come our way, Lord. And Lord, we have brethren here with us today who are from Myanmar and Bangladesh who have suffered in a far greater way, Lord. Help all of us to look to You, Lord God, to trust in You even in our sufferings, in our trials, to trust You with our anxieties, to bring to You our worries. Father, help us and equip us and encourage us to love our brethren. Father, to serve Jesus as faithful under-shepherds by caring for those who are hurting, Lord. By, Father, being ready to reach out in love to our brethren. And, Father, help us to not become isolated in our own ministry work. Lord, help us to build relationships of trust and accountability. And, Father, finally, Lord, help us to keep the right perspective, to remember that all of our troubles, great and small, are light and momentary afflictions. And Father, we have ahead of us a glorious homecoming compared to which our sufferings now are not even worth thinking about. And Lord God, I pray that now that You would bless this gathering, bless this assembly, Father. Help us to be encouraged, to be equipped as we go forth, Father, this week and continue serving Jesus, making Him known, Lord God, preaching the Word, God, without fear and without favor, and loving our brethren and serving them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.